Catholics are often accused of believing in what they call a works righteous salvation system, where you can work your way to heaven. The good works that you do get you closer to being saved, and if you do enough good works, then you will be saved. But if you don't do enough good works, then you won't be saved. Now, this is not true. In fact, the Catholic Church has condemned the idea that you can earn your salvation or do enough good works in order to achieve salvation. This idea of earning your own salvation was a 4th century heresy called Pelagianism, which the Catholic Church condemned. As well, the Church condemned semi-Pelagianism, where you and God work together for your salvation. The Council of Trent says in the 6th session on justification, Canon 1, if anyone saith that man may be justified before God by his own works, whether done through the teaching of human nature or that of the law, without the grace of God through Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. So it is not true that the Catholic Church believes that you can earn your way into heaven or earn your salvation. Now, I would say that it is true that you can earn your way out of purgatory, as 1 Corinthians 3:13 says. Each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each man has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. I would also say that it is true that the Catholic Church teaches that you can earn a higher place in heaven through doing good works, Matthew 6:2. Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Matthew 6:19-20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 11:11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This strongly indicates that some will have more than others in heaven, or even be in a higher place in heaven than others. Technically, as far as the Catholic faith is concerned, all one has to do to be saved is to be baptized and not fall into mortal sin, because mortal sin will cause you to lose your salvation. But if you do fall into mortal sin, repent and confess your sins, and then you will be brought back into what is called the state of grace, meaning that if you were to die at that moment, you would be saved. And we recognize, as all Christians do, that a person can live their life doing good works, being a Christian, and even having faith, but towards the end of their life despair of God's mercy and reject Christ, and therefore go to hell. Likewise, a person can live a life of sin rejecting Christ, but at the last moment repent and accept Jesus Christ and be saved. This accusation of Protestants against Catholics that we believe that we can earn our salvation comes from the fact that the Catholic Church denies the teaching that we are saved through faith alone. And while there are a few scripture passages that seem to say that we are saved by faith alone, there are a multitude that say we are not. In fact, the only place in the Bible that the words faith and alone appear together is in James chapter 2, which says that we are not justified by faith alone. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill-clad in a lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, and be filled, without giving them the things they need for their body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, I want to pause here for just a minute and point out how profound this one scripture passage is. There are two major doctrines in Protestantism: Scripture alone and faith alone. Yet here we have a scripture passage that explicitly denies faith alone. Now imagine for a minute if there was an actual scripture passage that explicitly denied a Catholic doctrine. For instance, what if there was a scripture passage that said Mary sinned, denying the Immaculate Conception, or Peter is not the head of the church, in other words, there's no pope, or one that actually said the Eucharist was symbolic? Then it would be over. No one would believe the Catholic Church at all. Yet for some reason, we are able to have a scripture passage that explicitly denies one of the major tenets of the Protestant Reformation, and everyone yawns. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Jesus makes it crystal clear that we are not saved by faith alone. He says at the end of time, he will divide people into two camps, those who did not feed the poor, clothe them, or do other charitable works, and they will go to hell. And those who did charitable works, feeding the poor and clothing them and whatnot, and they will go to heaven. And of course, there are many, many others that I could point out that explicitly deny salvation is through faith alone. So where does the belief in salvation through faith alone come from? Well, there are four passages that are put forward. Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is a gift from God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, on the surface, it seems that we have a contradiction in the Bible. The book of James and others explicitly deny salvation through faith alone, yet these scriptures seem to proclaim it. So we have to reconcile, for instance, Romans with the book of James. And I've heard some very interesting conclusions by Protestants in an effort to do that, even the idea that the writings of Paul, especially Romans, trump every other book in the Bible. In other words, if the writings of Paul seem to say one thing and other writings in the Bible say the opposite, then we go with what Paul says. Well, first of all, where does it say that in the Bible? Second, Paul is the only author of the Bible that the Bible itself says is easy to misinterpret. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, speaking of these things, as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. There is no warning in the Bible against misinterpreting the book of James or even Jesus, only Paul. And isn't it interesting that all of the Protestant doctrines that differ from Catholic ones come from the writings of Paul? But if we look at what Paul is actually saying in Romans chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 2, he is clearly contrasting faith in Jesus Christ to the works of the Jewish law, essentially saying faith in Christ saves you, not obeying the law of Moses. In fact, in Romans 3:28, the verse most often quoted to support faith alone, he specifically says that we are saved by faith and not by works of the law. He's talking about the law of Moses, not doing good deeds. So the faith Paul is talking about also includes doing charitable deeds. And in fact, he makes it clear in Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. For he will render to every man according to his works. To those who by patient and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are factious and do not obey the truth, but obey wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. Further evidence that Paul is contrasting salvation through the works of the law with salvation by faith that includes charitable deeds is found in Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by charity. As far as Romans chapter 10, verse 9, saying, for if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe that he was raised from the dead, you'll be saved, I think we really have to look at the context in which it was written. In other words, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord in Rome or Judea in the first century was far different than it is today. Back then, you could lose your job, your property, or even your life. Whereas today, and historically in the United States and Europe, if someone were to go and profess that they believe in Jesus Christ, they would be applauded, especially if it's done in the church. But again, in the first century, they could very well lose their life professing with their lips that Christ is Lord. So that is actually a work. So in reality, this verse is proclaiming both faith and works. And Mark 16:16, he who is baptized and believes will be saved, and he who does not believe will not be saved. First, I would point out that this verse proclaims baptism, which is a work, is necessary for salvation. But I would say to give clarity on this verse, we can look at a parallel verse in John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him. Here it says, he who believes will be saved, but he who does not obey will be condemned. So this shows that belief or faith requires obedience to Christ, which would require charitable works. So this shows that the terms faith and belief in the Bible can be used in different ways. When Paul is talking about faith, he is talking about a faith that is going to do charitable works. But when James talks about faith, he's talking about strict belief. The author of James makes it clear, believing in Jesus alone will not save you. James 2:19. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish fellow, that faith apart from works is barren? But how can it be that we cannot earn our salvation? It is a free gift of God, yet works play a role in our justification for salvation. The Catholic Church seems to be talking out of both sides of its mouth on this issue. Well, granted, but to be fair, so does Scripture. The answer is we are not saved by faith alone or even by faith plus works, which, by the way, is not in the language of the church. The Catholic Church has never said we are saved by faith plus works, but that is something that is casually said among Protestants and Catholics to differentiate the Protestant position from the Catholic one. But rather, we are saved by grace alone, and Protestants agree with this, but how that grace is applied is something believed differently among Catholics and Protestants. Many Protestants believe that the grace of God is irresistible, and for those who are saved, who are given this grace, they will do good works. They really don't have a choice. But Catholics believe that we have free will, and while grace is a gift from God freely given, we are free to either accept and work with or reject that grace. The Catholic Church basically breaks salvation into two parts, initial salvation and the process of being saved. Initial salvation is a gift from God that has nothing to do with anything that a person has done. The person answers the call of salvation, receives faith, and gets baptized, and they are put in a state of sanctifying grace and are at that point saved. But nothing we've done prior to that matters. Even babies who are baptized after they're born, though the baptism does forgive original sin and put them in a state of sanctifying grace, when they get older, must decide for themselves whether or not to be Catholic. This usually happens around the age of anywhere from 12 to 16 years old, and it is done with the sacrament of confirmation when the bishop lays hands on the person and they receive the Holy Spirit. At the initial salvation, God gives the person the grace of charity to do good works. If they answer the call to grace and do the good works, then they are rewarded and they receive an increase in grace. The more they answer the grace, the more rewards in heaven and increase in grace they get, and the easier it gets to answer the call to grace and the more likely they are to die in the state of grace. Luke 11:41. But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you. But the person who decides to reject that grace, after a while could fall into sin, which wounds the relationship with God, and eventually into mortal sin, which breaks off the grace of God completely. If they die in that state, they will go to hell. However, they can always repent and receive sanctifying grace through the sacrament of confession. Now, that's not to say that a person who cooperates with grace won't fall into sin, but they will be more disposed to repent and take advantage of confession, while he who does not cooperate with grace will likely fall away. As we cooperate with grace, it changes us and makes us more Christ-like. However, the works are not ours, but God's. Allow me to give an imperfect analogy. Let's say Bob, who lives down the street, lost his job and he's having a hard time. I give my son $100 and I say, here, go give this to Bob. He goes and he gives it to Bob. Who gets credit for giving Bob $100? The son, who actually handed it to him, or the father, who actually gave the $100 to his son? Clearly, the father gets the credit because the $100 actually comes from him. The son was just the messenger boy. He's just the one who delivered it. However, the son could have said, no, Dad, I'm not doing that. Do it yourself. But the son didn't do that. He did give the $100 to Bob, and so he gets credit for that and shares in the charity. It is the same with us and the good works that we do through grace. The charity that we do, almsgiving and whatnot, are not our good works. Those are God's works, because we are being prompted by grace and through grace to do those good works. So it is not of our own, but of God. So he gets all the glory and the credit. Now, there are Protestants who would deny this, but there are other Protestants who would agree with it. A lot of times when Protestants say faith alone and Catholics say faith plus works, we are actually saying the same thing because we believe the same thing. This is how the Catholic Church is able to sign documents with churches such as the Lutherans and the Anglicans, saying that we actually agree on justification and faith and works. Even Pope Benedict said that the Catholic Church is not opposed to the idea of salvation through faith alone, so long as it is not opposed to charity. So, you believe in salvation through faith in Jesus. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." So let me ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Then believe what he said. Until my next video, God bless.